Church family, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, sanctify us, encourage us, enlighten us, shape us, teach us, and be with us as we hear your holy word today. May it direct us to your glory and for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Friends, please open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you are living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. In this sermon series, we have been climbing the imaginary mountain depicted in Dante's poem, The Divine Comedy, Inferno, and have explored two of the seven deadly sins, pride and envy, which are arguably the most dangerous of all the deadly sins. But now we turn our attention to the third deadly sin, anger. We all struggle with this sin in one way or another. Here is how Thomas Aquinas, a faithful early teacher of Christianity, defined anger from a biblical perspective. Anger is the unreasonable desire for vengeance. You might wonder, why is there so much anger in the world? The answer is that we have all experienced hurt, have we not? Each of us have been hurt, leading us to feel the urge to retaliate against those who have wronged us, so that we hurt them back. Here's one example of anger that I've had at a previous church. I was conducting a funeral service, and during this time of grief, I had a chance to meet with the family. I sensed that there were troubles, tensions, and dissension among them. It turns out that the family members had fought for many, many years, but they were staying together for the sake of the person who had recently passed away. As I presided over the person's funeral, I approached the family, as I often do before the service. While doing so, I overheard one family member say to another, "Now that so-and-so is gone, this is the last time we are ever going to talk." Extraordinary. That is anger. Was that person hurt? Undoubtedly. What is anger? It is the irrational and excessive desire for revenge. How will I get back at you? I will never speak to you again. Now, I bet that some people in this very room, or at least certainly in your families, aren't talking to each other. How long has it been going on? Maybe years. Maybe many decades. Have you ever heard about that kind of thing? I have. No, I don't talk to him anymore. Why not? I don't know. I don't remember. But we haven't talked for years. This is someone getting back at another in an unreasonable way. You hurt me, I will hurt you worse. Do you know how Dante imagines God punishing those who are unreasonably angry? They are all engulfed in smoke. Everyone is coughing, unable to see because the smoke stings their eyes. And they are all sputtering away. Do you know why? It's because that is exactly what anger does to us. Often, when we're angry, we don't perceive things accurately. And when we try to speak while angry, we all sputter, and it comes out all wrong. When I'm angry, I struggle to express myself clearly. This is the effect of anger. It blinds you, suffocates you, and hinders good communication. You can't see straight, and you can't speak clearly through all the smoke, through all the anger. Remember, in the profound scene of Holy Scripture, in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is a place where anger is evident. This is where Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. That right there is what happens in anger. Not only do we lash out to hurt someone, but we also sever good communication connections. Jesus, on the other hand, as our great Lord and example, immediately restores the ear. This is one of the ways that the early church fathers accurately interpreted this passage of Holy Scripture. That anger separates us from one another. We don't listen. Jesus heals the ear because this is one of the things that Jesus does. Jesus reestablishes the links in the mystical body, the body of the church, and the body of Christ. Anger and other sins divide, but Jesus restores. What is the lively virtue? A grace from God that combats anger. What is the biblical antidote that God provides to combat the disease of anger? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Friends, how central forgiveness is to the ways of God as revealed all throughout His Holy Scriptures. Jesus frequently preaches about forgiveness because he knows that we need it and we must give it to be free, even if we don't understand it. At the heart of the great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Matthew 6:12. Jesus then further instructs, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Matthew 6:14-15. Those are some difficult and daunting passages of Holy Scriptures to hear, but they are true nonetheless. To the paralytic man let down through the roof by his friends, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he leaves healed. Later, the risen Jesus breathes on his disciples and tells them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. In all of this, we recognize that we have no power within ourselves to forgive sins, as that can only be accomplished by God alone. Yet, God desires us to participate in the process of forgiveness, just as God has freely given us grace, mercy, and forgiveness. He now wishes for us to share all these gifts of His grace with others, even those who have hurt us deeply and at many times. Friends, it is because of us, you and I, that Jesus was put on the cross to die. In one way or another, we mocked Jesus. We put him on trial and condemned him. We tortured him. We nailed him to the cross. We watched him die and we pierced his side. We did that. And yet, God forgave us. Can we not forgive others? Last time I checked, none of us were recently crucified. God wants us involved in forgiveness because when we are hurt and angry and do not forgive, we contribute to the problem of separating the body of Christ. If you have wronged or hurt me or my family or my friends, and then I do not forgive you and do not actively engage in reconciliation between us, my anger prevents, not you, but me, from fostering good and godly communication. And more importantly, I then hinder the mission of God's church. When I am angry with you, I don't want to collaborate with you, even in the mission of Christ, when I do not forgive. And it is the same with you. People suffer because of my anger. Even if I do not use a physical weapon, anger in itself is a weapon. When I am angry with you, we cannot work together on Christ's mission to save others. So, if we are fighting, other people suffer. They see our tension, they feel our hatred, and then they leave without experiencing the forgiveness and embrace of God. Friends, we, you and I, the disciples of Jesus, are meant to be conduits of God's forgiveness and grace. Don't let the deadly sins lead to death. Stay connected to God and forgive others. Truly, wish well for those who have wronged you and bless them with forgiveness. Friends, in your lives and in the lives of others, live into and preach the resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, which is spoken about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God, who desires nothing more than for us to be alive, is always striving to untie us from the deadly sins that we have wrapped ourselves in, which trap and confine us. He is continually working to loosen the chains, is he not? Well, here it is. We should use the gifts that God has given to us and forgive others. When you forgive, you not only free others with the power of God and heal the communication bonds, but you also liberate yourself from the chains of hatred and anger that restrain us. Hear these words from the beloved book that we love. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus replied, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. In this passage of Holy Scripture, Jesus suggests that forgiveness should be so ingrained in you and in me that we are always forgiving. Forgiveness should be the fundamental attitude of our lives. How often does God forgive us? 7 times? 77 times? No. God is constantly forgiving us. And what is Jesus telling us in this passage of Holy Scripture? Should we forgive someone only 77 times and then stop? No. God wants us to mirror him. The phrase 77 times does not refer to a specific number of times that God forgives us or the count of times that we should forgive others. But rather, this passage of Holy Scripture emphasizes that God is always and fully forgiving you and me, and we are called to mirror God and do the same. This is what God embodies. This is what he desires. And we are called and compelled to extend that same forgiveness to others. Do you remember the story of the miraculous catch of fish where Peter comes and falls on his knees before Jesus and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus then replies with something like, yeah, I know you are a sinner, but you are forgiven, and now I have a job for you to do. This illustrates how forgiveness is supposed to work. But what does forgiveness look like for you and me? Forgiveness is an active engagement with evil and sin in an attempt to undermine it. It takes great courage, and it can be very dangerous. Forgiveness means putting oneself in the midst of evil and sin and saying, "No, stop." Every instinct of our angry hearts urges us to retaliate against those who have hurt us. Yet the Lord says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Why? Is it so that we can be nice guys or nice girls? No. It's so that we might intervene, disrupt the cycle of violence, and so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5, 44 through 45. Perhaps some of you know a bit about martial arts. I used to be very passionate about martial arts and trained in Taekwondo and Aikido for many, many years. Aikido is a Japanese martial art. It is a form of combat, which means it is a way of engaging an opponent, an enemy. However, unlike other martial arts, Aikido is not intended to be used aggressively. Aikido is not about someone punching me and me punching back, or someone kicking at me and I kick back. Instead, Aikido always involves a strategic way to avoid others' aggressions. So, if someone approaches you aggressively, you would utilize that aggression and step aside at the last moment, ensuring that the aggression is safely redirected while you safely take the aggressor to the ground. The Aikido master that I learned from told the class that Aikido is not meant to be used to hurt an enemy, and certainly not to kill them. But rather, the goal is to leave the enemy laughing on the ground, convinced that they couldn't possibly win. Can you see, my friends, that in the Sermon on the Mount, delivered to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, something like a spiritual Aikido is happening? If someone is violent towards you, if they slap you on the cheek, what should you do? Run away? No! Jesus does not instruct us to run away. How about, should you submit or give in? No, no. Stand your ground and use their energy against it to dissipate it. You see, when you meet fire with fire, you then become part of the terrible cycle of anger and sin. But when you meet anger with forgiveness, you can bring it down with laughter. Imagine with me, Jesus crucified right now. All the world's hatred, violence, sin, stupidity, and injustice came roaring at him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus was nailed to the cross, allowing all this to spend itself on him. And even in the midst of it all, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. Jesus could have sent legions of angels. Yes, he could have, in a furious act of counter-violence. But instead, Jesus took on the sin of the world, forgave people like you and me, and embraced the world's sin in his divine mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness. That is why Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. The antidote to anger is this kind of forgiveness. Here, my friends, is some practical advice. Friends, today, take a concrete step to heal a broken friendship or relationship. For families that aren't talking to each other, get in the way of that. I know that I'm purposefully and somewhat ironically using aggressive language here, but get in the way of that. Interrupt it and break that cycle of violence. Do something today to heal a broken relationship. Write a note, make a phone call, send a message or text, ask for forgiveness, and generously give forgiveness. Ask for and pray that God would give you this great grace and gift from him. May you be the one to start the healing process. I have heard this excuse way too often. But Pastor, I have been hurt 1,000 times. Yes, I know you have, but go and forgive again. Jesus took on the sins of the world and responded with love and forgiveness. And so must we, you and I. We, as Christians, meaning little Christs, are called to be like our Savior and King, Jesus. When you feel offended, forgive quickly. When you are offended, the Holy Scriptures advise us, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Ephesians 4:26-27. That is excellent practical advice. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Here is some more valuable scriptural guidance. When you come to worship and realize you're not reconciled with someone else, leave your gifts there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or your sister, and then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:24. This means Don't let this anger linger. Don't let unforgiveness continue. The point of this passage is that if you hold on to anger and an unforgiving heart, they obstruct true worship, creating a barrier between you and God. Therefore, set aside your act of insincere and profane worship and first take the necessary steps to forgive others and then return to experience genuine worship and a real connection with God. Friends, don't allow unforgiveness to persist. While preparing for this sermon today, I found an interesting tidbit. There was a sign over Augustine's dinner table that read, "No one at this table speaks ill of his brother." Augustine lived with other Christians, and they would dine together. Overhead, they would see that sign that stated, "No one at this table speaks ill of his brother." History tells us that Augustine enforced this rule. We talked about house rules in last week's children's message. And here is a very good house rule. If someone spoke ill of his brother, Augustine would ask that person to leave. Please, intervene against scapegoating, gossip, and anger. Block it, stop it, and enforce it. Speak positively about the person that is being blamed, spoken badly about, or criticized. This is one thing that God calls his people to do. We are sent to be agents, conduits of God's divine mercy, grace, love, truth, and forgiveness. By the grace of God and the working out of our own salvation, when we shed anger and embrace forgiveness, we release another of the ropes of chains that bind us and bring us down. This allows for God's desire to forgive the world to flow through us. God's people, you and me are meant to be channels of God's amazing and divine grace and forgiveness surging through us. May we all let go of unreasonable and ungodly anger and forgive those who have hurt us. It is something, as our scripture said today from 1 Colossians, it is something that Christians must do for the sake of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.